Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in. A man with a checkered past uses his wits and skills to right the wrongs of his city. Tonight's episode, the 1944 series, Boston Blackie. While the radio show debuted in 1944, the character himself appeared in the novel The Price of Principle back in 1914 and was created by Jack Boyle. The radio series featured over 200 episodes. You'll be listening to two of those episodes right now. And you can find more of those episodes in volumes 1 through 3 in the archives. If you're a fan of Boston Blackie, be sure to let me know. You can find ways to reach me through the links in the descriptions. And while you're there, be sure to follow, review, and rate the podcast. And thank you to those who have already. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Bill, you have all three of us here. If there's any point to this, get to it, will you?
None of you has ever been subtle in his dislike for me, anyhow.
Well, I'm sure you don't think much more of us than we think of you.
We understand each other perfectly, don't we?
I think we do.
Look, Uncle Bill, if you have anything to say to us, say it, will you? I have a date.
I apparently have a date, too, with someone who wants to kill me. As you all have been very pleased to know, I have received several anonymous telephone calls threatening my life.
So what?
I can imagine how you three must feel, since my death means that you will inherit my entire estate.
It is still in the millions, isn't it, Uncle?
More millions than you can imagine.
And it is still left entirely to us.
Merely because I have no choice in the matter. The condition under which I inherited from my father stipulates that I must leave it all to you.
Well, when you see your father, which should be soon, say thanks for us.
I have taken it upon myself to add something to my will. John, will you stop playing with that toy?
It's not a toy. It's a magic trick. Yeah. Now you see the card. Now you don't.
Put your magic tricks away while I'm talking. I've stated in my will that in the event that I'm murdered, Not one cent will be given to any of you until my murder is solved.
Really?
Yes. All of you not only hate me, but you hate each other. Two of you would profit immensely if one of you were convicted of killing me. It amuses me to picture each of you scrambling madly to blame my death on one of the others.
If you really think someone's trying to kill you, why don't you notify the police?
I'm going even beyond the police, my dear Fanny. I'm going to Boston Blackie.
And now meet Richard Colmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
You know what I like about you, Blackie?
Okay.
The quaint places you take me to eat. Like this.
Well, you know what I like about you.
Nope.
Me.
Oh.
Pardon me, but there is a telephone call for you, Mr. Blackie.
Thanks.
One thing I don't like about you, you're always wanted on the phone.
Excuse me. I'll just be a moment.
Be back in time for dessert, will you?
I'll be back for soup. Excuse me, dear.
Right over in your boots, sir. Right there.
Thank you. Hello?
Mr. Boston Blackie?
Yeah?
I'm William Blaine.
Yes?
I've received several telephone calls in the past week threatening my life.
So?
So I'm hiring you to protect me.
Oh, that's very nice of you, but I'm not interested.
You don't seem to know who I am.
Sure I do. You're William Blaine.
Well, I expect you to accept the job.
Oh, you do?
I'm not accustomed to being refused.
Well, let's say I'm breaking you in.
I insist that you take the job.
If you want protection, call the police.
You'll become my bodyguard for the next few days, or I'll ruin you, Blackie.
I don't ruin easily, Blaine. And besides, I have a job entertaining a lovely lady at lunch. Goodbye.
Now, you listen.
Hi there, honey. Miss me?
How could I? It's such an interesting menu to read.
How's the plot? Good?
Mm-hmm. Especially the chapter called Roast Ribs of Beef and Potatoes Any Style. Important phone call?
Oh, just a fellow named Bill Blaine.
Who's he?
Well, right now, he's a guy who's still looking for a bodyguard.
All right, Blackie, just a minute.
Hi, Miss Wesley. I gotta see Blackie.
Oh, come in, Shorty.
Oh, gee, thanks. Where's Blackie? I gotta see him, but pronto.
Well, he'll be here in a minute. Sit down.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Anything the matter?
Oh, plenty.
Oh, he should be here any minute.
Oh, gee, Miss Wesley, you sure are a beautiful dame.
Oh, Shorty, you're wonderful.
Oh, gosh, Miss Wesley, you think so?
I most certainly do. Oh, here's Blackie now.
Gee, I hope so, because I ain't got a minute to lose.
Hi, honey. All set to...
Thank you. Shorty put into words what you seem to be saying in that whistle.
Shorty, do I have a rival?
Hiya, boss. Boss, look, I got troubles.
I can fix them up between now and dinner time?
I don't know, boss. It's pretty bad.
Oh, will it still be bad tomorrow morning?
It'll be worse.
All right, let's have it.
Boss, look, you remember the rat that you got me out of 6 years ago?
That's dead, Shorty.
But that's it. It ain't dead enough. Sam Daniels all of a sudden's going to send me up for those forged checks. You fixed it with him way back when I did it. He promised he wouldn't do nothing to me if I went straight.
How do you know Daniels is going to prosecute?
He called me up and told me so.
Hmm. Well, don't worry about it, short one. I'll go out and have a talk with Daniels. I'll be back, Mary.
What comes first with you, Blackie? Business or pleasure?
If this means what I think it does, honey, this business is going to be a pleasure.
Sit down, Blackie, sit down.
I can stand, Blaine, but not for what you're doing. I just left Sam Daniels. How did you find out he could send Shorty to jail for forgery?
When a man has unlimited funds, he can find out a great many things.
All right. What's the deal?
I want you to accept the job I offered you on the telephone this noon.
Or what?
Or your friend Shorty goes to jail.
What do I have to do?
I've received several telephone calls from someone threatening to kill me. I want you to protect me.
And what about Shorty?
If you do as I say, I'll not force Daniels to prosecute your friend. Now, I get what I want, don't I?
You're getting the wrong man for a bodyguard, Mr. Blaine, because, frankly, I'd just as soon see you dead.
Well, then you and my family should get along famously here. They feel the same way.
Oh, I'm to move in?
I expect to occupy your full time.
Uh-huh. Wait till Mary hears about this.
I'll call my family to come down. I'd like you to meet them.
You're the boss. But introduce me as old John Jones, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. Oh, excuse me a moment. Oh?
You're going to kill tonight.
Hello. Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
Was that another threat on your life?
Yes, obviously, the last one. The voice just said you're going to be killed tonight.
Well, I seem to have arrived just in time for the fun. Did you recognize the voice?
No, it's his disguise.
Oh, that's fine. It wasn't one of your family, was it?
That's impossible. They're here in the house. We have only one outside line.
Better call them down so we can be sure.
Well, I'm here.
Oh, Martha. Now, this is John Jones, my bodyguard. Mr. Jones, this is my niece, Martha.
Well, how do you do, Mr.
How are you?
Tell your brothers to come here at once.
Bodyguard, huh? Oh, this should be very amusing. Robert? John?
Here I am. John's upstairs, I think. Oh, John?
Yeah?
Come on down for a laugh. Uncle Bill's gone and bought himself a bodyguard. Come
in. Pleasant family you have, Mr. Blaine.
Yes, don't I? Now, this is Robert, my nephew. Robert, Mr. John Jones.
How do you do, Mr. Jones?
How do you do?
I hope you're getting a high fee, Mr. Jones, because you might have to ask.
Hey, let's see this bodyguard. Is he tough?
Well, he's handsome.
And Mr. Jones, you've now met my entire family. This is John. John, Mr. Jones.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Jones?
Hello.
I think you better guard Uncle Bill from us, too. We don't love him. Or has he told you?
If he hasn't, I know it by now. Your uncle just received another of those telephone calls. Your being here is the only thing that keeps me from thinking one of you made the call just now. But I think we should call the police.
So do I.
It'll mean nothing but nasty publicity. I don't think the police are necessary.
I do.
I say let's get a lot of them and make absolutely sure.
Well, I know the police commissioner. He'll send us all the policemen we want.
Well, Mr. Blaine, at least two-thirds of your family show concern for your life.
Don't let them fool you, Mr. Jones. They don't want me to live. They're daring me to.
Have a little organization here. Now stay in this room, Mr. Blaine.
Oh, will I be safe here?
I don't know why not. You have two policemen in here with you.
Now that's what I call protection.
What are you doing over there, Mr. Jones?
It's just trying the windows.
They're locked good and tight.
Well, I was just checking.
I don't need checking. Take them out, Ron.
Okay, bud. Come on outside.
Well, looks like I'll have to guard you from a distance, Mr. Blaine.
Okay, everybody out. You too, sister.
You're sure we shouldn't all stay in here?
Faraday's orders. Everybody outside.
All right.
Okay, Rollins. Lock the door.
Yes, sir.
Now what, officer?
You're behind locked doors and windows, Mr. Blaine. Got two cops right beside you, Susan. There's nothing to worry about.
Wish I were as sure as you are.
Don't worry. You won't let anybody touch a hair on your head. Not even if all he wants to do is comb it. Why don't you go to sleep, Mr. Blaine?
How can I do anything when I feel like an animal in a cage? Can't we open a window just a crack for air?
Nothing doing. The windows stay locked tight. The door's locked. That's where everything stays, because that's the only way you're safe.
And you're plenty safe in here.
It should be. I'm uncomfortable enough.
Hey, how about a game of gin, Smith?
Yeah. Got cards?
Lower your voices, will you? I think I'll try to read.
Okay.
I don't suppose either of you...
Mr. Blaine! Mr. Blaine!
What happened to him?
What do you think happened to him? That noise wasn't a backfire. Look at him.
It was a shot, huh? Did you get him?
Yeah.
Is he... you dead?
Yeah. Shot. In a sealed room, too, with us practically sitting beside him. Call Faraday, quick.
How will I tell him?
Tell him it couldn't happen, but it did.
Now, back to our story. When the wealthy Bill Blaine received strange telephone calls threatening with death, he forced Boston Blackie to become his bodyguard by digging up some old evidence against Shorty, Blackie's friend. When Blaine heard that he was to be killed last night, Blackie called in the help of the police, who put Blaine in a locked room and stood guard over him. Then the police insisted that Blackie leave, and shortly thereafter, Bill Blaine was shot and killed. As we return to our story, Inspector Faraday is at the scene of the crime.
What do you mean, no glass is broken? If the shot didn't come from inside the room, it came from outside.
We've gone over every pane of glass, Inspector. There isn't even a crack anywhere.
Yeah, and the windows are still locked. This is crazy. This is impossible.
Oh, we know it.
All right. The shot came from inside the room, then. You've gone over all the pictures, the molding, the fireplace?
Everything,
We've
Inspector.
Inspected every inch of floorboard, too, and we haven't found a thing.
It's crazy. It's impossible.
You said that.
A fine couple of cops you are. Where's the dead guy's family?
Upstairs.
All right, both of you. Go up there and get him.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Hello, boys. How's everything?
Not so good, as you see.
Who's that out there?
Who's that in there?
Blackie.
Well, Inspector Faraday. The danger must be over. You've arrived.
What are you doing here?
I live here.
Live here?
Sure, I'm Bill Blaine's bodyguard.
Well, get over there and guard the body.
Say, he looks a little bit dead.
He's been dead for 45 minutes.
Then I don't suppose he'll recover. Who shot him? One of your men?
I not only don't know who shot him, I don't even know how he was shot.
Don't know how?
Nothing inside this room fired a bullet. And there's not a pane of glass broken in any of the windows, which were locked.
What?
Where were you 45 minutes ago?
Well, that's hard to say. I didn't look at my watch.
Where have you been?
Sorry, pal. That's a secret.
Well, as long as you keep your secret, I'll keep you. Come on, Blackie.
Oh, Inspector, put away that gun.
I will, after I put you where you belong, in jail.
Now, you know I didn't kill this guy.
I don't say you did, but you're plenty mixed up in this. You live here in this house. You're this guy's bodyguard, and yet you aren't guardian. And on top of it all, you disappear when the guy gets killed. And you won't tell me where you were.
I can't.
Well, I'm holding you as a material witness.
I won't be very good material. And besides, I know how Blaine was killed. Put away that gun and I'll show you.
I'll hold the gun and you'll still show me.
All right. Okay. Now, do you mind if I open one of the windows?
Why?
To show you how it was done.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Inspector.
No tricks now. And make it snappy. I don't have all day.
I'll have to climb out on the flagstone walk. That's where the killer stood.
Blackie, if this is a...
What are you worrying about? You've got a gun on me.
Yeah, and I can shoot straight, too.
Okay, okay. I'm all set.
Now, how is it done?
Now, I'm the killer.
Yeah?
Now, come over here and put your arm across the windowsill.
Okay. But no tricks. I've got my gun right in your face.
You wouldn't shoot a pal, would you?
A pal, no. Come on. How was it done?
Oh, like this. The killer stood here.
Yeah, wise guy. The window wasn't open. It was closed.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Then maybe I'd better close it.
Blackie, you're breaking my arm.
And you're breaking my heart. Drop that gun, Blackie. Drop it. Thanks, pal.
Blackie, I'll show the bookers for this.
Well, make it a good book, will you, Inspector? Because while you're trying to catch up with me, I'd like to catch up on my reading.
Yeah? I'll say you can come in. I want to talk to you, Miss Wesley.
Well, I want to talk to you, too.
What about?
About the story in the newspaper.
What about it?
It says that you're looking for Boston Blackie as a material witness to the murder of William Blaine.
So?
So, maybe you'll change your mind when I tell you where Blackie was when Mr. Blaine was killed.
Where?
With me.
That's no alibi in my book. Where were you?
The newspaper says Mr. Blaine was killed at 9:45 last night. At 9:45, I was in Sam Daniels' office, helping Boston Blackie crack a safe.
Miss Blackie. Blackie, it's me, Shorty. Come here, will you?
Okay, kid. I raided your icebox, Shorty. Hope you don't mind.
Nah, boss, you can have anything I got. You know that.
Did you get the information I wanted on Blaine's family?
Yeah, sure. Here it is, boss. All written down nice and neat. But... Boss, Mary's in jail.
What?
Faraday checked Daniels when she said that you and her robbed a safe last night at 9:45. Daniels said it wasn't robbed.
So Faraday's holding Mary. Gee, that's worked fast. What dope have you got on the Blaine family?
Just the usual stuff. None of them amounted to much except that Robert Blaine. He got rich. It's all writ down there. You read it okay?
Well, let's see. John worked in a drugstore, a shoe store, but never for long.
He's got a lot of dope on this Robert.
Yeah, I can see that. Member of the Stock Exchange, on the board of directors of the local Red Cross, president of the Margo Country Club. He does all right. And what about Martha, the sister?
She's just a dame, boss. You know.
She worked three different times. Stuck a long time to each job, too. First as a secretary, then for the telephone company, then as a buyer in a department store. Married twice, too.
That's right, yeah.
Could be that this is going to be very helpful, Shorty.
Oh, gee, swell. I'm glad.
And now, here's something for you.
Gee, boss, these are the checks I forged on Mr. Daniels.
That's right. They're yours now.
You mean he gave them to you?
Mary and I took them last night. But Daniels wouldn't tell Faraday that. Well, I've got to go, Shorty.
Where to, boss?
To the Blaine house. That's the first step in getting Mary out of jail and putting a murderer in.
John.
Well, Martha, what are you doing sneaking around the hall?
Why?
Wouldn't be surprised if you killed Uncle Bill.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
It'd be very profitable for two of us if one of us did.
Do you care which one?
As long as I'm not the one.
Maybe you should have thought about that soon.
You think the police will find out who killed Uncle Bill?
They have to find out first how.
Are you afraid they will?
We get no money until they do.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
I'm going to bed.
Pleasant dreams.
Don't be so generous.
I should be rich enough to be very generous. Soon.
Not if I can help it, sister, dear.
What dumb jerk turned out the lights?
This dumb jerk.
Who's there?
The dumb jerk who turned out the lights. Wait, I'll turn them on again.
Joan.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in my room?
Looking for a clue.
To what?
Your uncle's murder.
Well, you won't find it here.
No, not now, because I already have.
Look, I didn't do it.
I didn't say you did.
What have you found in here?
Evidence.
Of what?
That you're somewhat of a magician.
What if I am? It's a hobby of mine. I'm just an amateur.
Well, your amateur standing as a magician may solve a semi-professional murder.
How?
Mind if I use your phone?
I'll go right ahead.
Thanks.
Who are you calling?
The police.
Well, there are three policemen downstairs.
But I want the top man.
Faraday speaking.
Inspector, this is Blackie.
Blackie, you're going to...
Look, Inspector, tell your cops to come home. All is forgiven. Because I've not only found out how Blaine was killed, I know who killed him.
I don't fall for the same gag twice, Blackie. You turn yourself over to the nearest policeman, or Mary stays in jail for the rest of her life.
In that case, I guess I'll just go downstairs.
Where are you?
In Blaine's house. And your cops downstairs have got me right where I want them. Come on up, Inspector. The party's on me.
All right, Blackie. Here we all are in Blaine's bedroom. Now, no tricks. I'm not the only one with a gun. Keep him covered, Rollins.
Do that, Rollins. I'll keep you busy.
If you have anything to say before I run you in, say it now, Blackie.
Will you listen?
For some dumb reason or other, I always do. But no tricks.
Well, sorry, Inspector, but this time there has to be a trick. A magic trick.
Huh?
See this little gadget I have here in my hand?
Yeah, what is it?
A pane of what seems to be ordinary plate glass in a wooden frame. The glass is solid, isn't it?
Sure it is. So what?
So I place this metal ball on top of the glass, thus.
Yeah.
Now, you don't think it's possible for the metal ball to fall through the glass and hit the top of the table below, do you?
Of course not.
You are so wrong, Inspector. Watch.
Hey, it did go right through the glass.
Without breaking it, Inspector. Of course, if you wish to inspect.
But how did you do it?
I pressed on the side of the wooden frame, and the glass moved to one side far enough for the metal ball to drop through. Look at this.
Yeah, I saw it.
Give the windows in this room another going over, and you'll find a pane of glass constructed to do exactly the same thing.
Rollins, Smith, start looking.
Right.
So that's how it was done. A trick pane of glass, huh?
You catch on quick, Faraday.
Where'd you get that trick?
In John Blaine's room?
Yes, in my room, but that doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't it?
I don't know about that. If we find a...
There it is, Inspector. A pane of glass in the window that slides.
Just like the glass in that gadget, too.
Oh, so it doesn't mean anything, huh?
All right, I admit that magic trick belongs to me. It was in my room, but that's no proof I killed Uncle Bill.
Well, maybe this is.
Hey, Blackie, where'd you get that gun?
John Blaine's room. And if you check, I think you'll find it's the gun that killed Uncle Bill.
Okay. Come on, you down to headquarters.
But I tell you,
Now, wait a minute, Inspector.
What for? I've got this case wrapped up in pink and blue ribbon.
Better not tie the end, Jeff Faraday, because John didn't kill his uncle.
Look, when you face the evidence, you got to come
then
to the...
Then do an about-face, Inspector. There's the little item of the telephone calls. Blaine got a call from the murderer when John and Martha and Robert were all in the house. John didn't make that call. But I know who did.
Well, I know who didn't. No member of the family. Those were outside calls. There's only one phone here.
When you jump to conclusions like that, Inspector, try not to land on your head. The one thing that had me baffled about this whole thing was, if one of the family killed the uncle, how was that telephone made to ring while all the family were in the house?
An accomplice outside.
Yes, I thought of that and ruled it out as too risky. Some information about John, Robert, and Martha Blaine that Shorty got for me gave me the right answer.
Yeah?
Martha Blaine is your killer.
Oh, why, Mr. Jones, you're so dashing.
Look, is this going to be another fairy story?
You worked for the telephone company for several years, didn't you, Mother?
So what?
When telephone linemen repair out-of-order phones, they dial a certain number that causes the telephone to ring.
Well, that's general knowledge. Everyone in this room knows that.
But the number the linemen dial is a closely guarded secret. You are the only one in this room who could possibly know that number. Anytime you wished, you could just go to one of the several extension phones in this house, dial the callback number, and cause every phone in the house to ring.
Okay, lady. You're going down to headquarters. Grab her, boys.
Come on, lady.
No, you don't. Come you'll on. Never get
me. I got her, Inspector. Hold on.
Let go of me.
Okay. Take her out.
Don't get excited.
Are you happy now, Inspector?
Yeah. But you're not going to be. You're not completely out of this till you tell me where you were at the time of the murder.
Cracking Sam Daniels' safe?
That's not so. Because I checked on that, and Daniels said his safe hadn't been touched.
Then why did you put Mary in jail?
She told me she helped you crack the safe. I had to hold her.
Faraday, holding Mary is my exclusive privilege. Let's go get her out. Hiya, jailbird.
Blackie. Oh, Blackie, are you all right?
Sure. And now I'm letting you out.
Where did you get those keys?
From Faraday.
But how?
Don't worry, honey. He gave them to me.
Honestly?
Cross my heart.
Well, cross the threshold, will you?
Aren't you coming out?
No. You're coming in.
But why?
Come on in.
All right. Here I am. Are you by any chance locking us in?
I am. Give me the key.
Well, why?
Give them to me.
Okay, here you are.
Oh, this is much better. Now I know we can't get into trouble. For a while.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Private detective are you, Whalen?
Good, Bruce. They're the best, or you wouldn't have hired me.
I wonder about that.
Watch the tone of voice, Bruce, or I don't like it.
All right. I'm sorry, Whalen. But I want action.
You're getting it.
But it's too slow. I hired you 2 months ago to get something on Lester Allen, and what have you done?
Nothing. Yet.
Nothing. How am I going to win the nomination against a man with a record like Allen?
He's pure, Mr. Brewster, sure, but he's not hermetically sealed.
I know that. He was involved in something illegal once, but he's covered it up. I hired you to uncover it. Now, why haven't you?
Look, Brewster, when you hired me, you hired a detective, not a P-38. I work slowly, but I get there just the same.
You made any progress at all?
You'd be surprised.
Surprise me, then.
Boston Blackie knows what Allen did wrong a few years back.
I told you Boston Blackie knew about Allen's illegal jaunt. Blackie was the one who caught him at it, but he won't talk.
Don't worry, Mr. Brewster. I found somebody else who knows about Allen and will talk.
Who?
A dame who came into my office this morning.
What does she know about Allen?
Everything Boston Blackie knows.
What makes you think so?
She's Mrs. Boston Blackie.
And now meet Richard Calmer's Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
I'm awfully glad you had a moment to see me, Mr. Allen. Blackie told me so much about you.
Oh, you're Mrs. Boston Blackie. Well, this is certainly a surprise. When were you married?
3 weeks ago in Springfield, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Mr. Allen Blackie speaks of you so often.
He doesn't tell the whole truth, I hope.
Oh, but he does. Even about that scandal you were mixed up in a few years ago.
You mention that for any particular reason?
Oh, yes.
I don't think I understand.
You will. You don't really have to continue in the campaign, do you?
I'm beginning to understand now.
You'd have a difficult time being elected to any office if you were exposed, wouldn't you?
Now, look here. I was innocently involved in that scandal. That's why Blackie pledged himself never to mention it to anyone.
Oh, but he mentioned it to me, his wife. And I'm not bound by any foolish pledge to keep it secret.
Now, look, are you trying to...
I'm more than trying, Mr. Allen. I'm doing it. I want you to drop out of the campaign.
What if I don't? Is there any other choice?
Maybe.
Money.
Maybe.
How much?
You name it.
500.
You did say 10,000, didn't you?
10,000?
Oh, that's better.
How do I know once I pay you?
You'll just have to trust me.
And of course, you can be trusted.
I don't like sarcasm, Mr. Just money. Mm-hmm.
How do you want
it? In cash and in small bills.
You did say you were Mrs. Boston Blackie, didn't you?
Well, of course I'm Mrs. Boston Blackie. Why?
Why? Because you sound to me more like Mrs. Boston Blackmail.
What's the matter with you, Mary? You aren't eating.
I was just thinking, Blackie.
What? That you don't like your own cooking?
Nope. I was just thinking, are you ever going to get married?
Maybe, if I ever get to thinking, too.
Some people do marry, you know.
Some people jump out of windows, too.
Oh.
I'll answer. But it's probably your building superintendent telling you he's finished moving your stuff into the new apartment.
I hope so.
Hello.
Blackie, this is Lester Allen.
Not Lester J. Allen. How are you, Les? Where have you been hiding?
Don't give me that old pal stuff, Blackie.
Hey, what's the matter?
You know very well what's the matter. I thought you realized I was innocently involved in that highway property scandal and that what you knew was to stay strictly between the two of us.
Well, that's a fine reason to be sore.
Well, I wouldn't be if you'd kept your word. Your wife is here with me now.
My wife?
You married her in Springfield, Ohio, 3 weeks ago.
My wife is in your office?
Blackie!
Wait a minute, Mary. Now, wait, will you?
Look, Blackie, what was the idea?
Just a minute, Les. Mary, wait.
I will not wait. I'm getting my hat and coat.
Blackie, are you still there?
Listen, Les, I can't talk to you right now. Keep my wife there.
Huh?
Don't let her leave. I'll see you in a minute. Mary.
No wonder you didn't want to talk about getting married someday. You're already married.
Now, look, Mary.
I'm going to look all right. And I'm going to keep looking until I get where you can't find me.
She's still here, Les?
In my den, Blackie. And you have a lot of explaining to do. She knows about that construction scam.
Oh, does she?
She implied as much.
You have a guilty conscience, that's all. I put in a call to Springfield. It'll come here, if you don't mind. Hey, where is your den?
This way. I didn't tell her you were coming. I managed to slip away while she was waiting for the money and phone.
Good.
Come on in.
What are you doing here? You said you weren't coming.
I couldn't stay away from you another moment, sugar.
Oh, you sweet thing. You're the most wonderful husband in the world.
No, I wouldn't say so. Huh?
Blackie, then she is your wife.
Well, of course I'm his wife, Mr. Allen.
Oh, yeah, tell the bewildered man all about it, darling.
You mean how we met at the Martin Inn in New Hampshire last August?
Mm-hmm, if you wish.
Blackie, you did spend last August at the Mountain Inn.
Of course I did.
Darling, why aren't you wearing your lovely brown suit? The one with the thin white stripe. You look so nice in that.
Oh, you don't love me just for my clothes, do you, darling?
Well, Blackie, this convinces me. I was with you when you bought that suit. I knew I
must
could never...
Must we stay here any longer, darling? Let's go to Martin's for dinner. That's your favorite place.
No, dear, let's go
over. I've heard enough from both of you. This girl is your wife, Blackie, or she wouldn't know so much about you.
Let's go, darling.
You go ahead. I'll meet you later.
All right. I have an appointment at the hairdresser's anyway. I'll meet you afterwards. Bye, darling.
I think you'd better leave too, Blackie. And I've had enough of you.
Les,
and
I've never seen that girl before in my life.
What? Then how did she know enough about me and that construction scandal to blackmail me?
That girl blackmailed you?
$10,000.
Well, look, Les, as soon as this call from Springfield comes through and straightens you out about the girl, I'll straighten out this blackmail business myself.
It'll take a lot to convince me that girl's not your wife. She knows too much about you.
She's probably been studying for this act for months. Oh, that's my call. Hello?
Hello, this is the marriage bureau in Springfield, Ohio.
Oh, yes, I called you. I'd like to know if you have any record of a Boston Blackie being married in your town 3 weeks ago.
Just a moment.
Look, lad, this will straighten you out about the girl. Now, don't worry.
Then what about my $10,000?
You shouldn't have paid it until you got in touch with me.
That girl was so convincing.
I can believe
Hello?
That.
Hello?
Yes?
You want to know if a man by the name of Boston Blackie got married here?
You have no record of any such marriage?
Who wants to know?
I do. I'm Boston Blackie.
matter with you, young man? What have you got besides a wife? A case of amnesia?
Boston Blackie was married in your town?
Sure he was. To Joan Blake, just 3 weeks ago.
Well, look, the month
before... look. If this is your idea of a joke, I don't like it. I don't have time to waste. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well?
A man by the name of Boston Blackie was married to Joan Blake in Springfield, all right.
Blackie, why are you doing this to me? I trusted you.
Don't you understand, Les? This whole thing is faked. Nobody knows anything about you except me. And I haven't talked, and I'm not married to that girl.
I'd like to think you wouldn't like me, but who would and why?
I don't know, but I'll find out. I can find out where my wife is living.
She told me when she first came in that she was living at the Walton House. Until you could find a larger apartment.
The Walton House, huh? Mm. I'll go down there and see her.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, a young lady seemed interested in going to see Mrs. Boston Blackie, too. Phoned here just after I spoke to you on the phone. Her name is Mary Wester.
Mary called here?
Yeah. I gave her the Walton House address. Did I do anything wrong?
You're batting 100% today, Les. So far, you haven't done anything right. Hey, hey, is this a Waltham house or a morgue?
I'm right with you, sir.
Oh, now I feel better. It's getting lonesome out here.
Yes, sir.
Is there a Mrs. Boston Blackie registered here?
Oh, yes, in room 1107.
Thanks.
Oh, just a minute, sir. I'm in sick. Mrs. Boston Blackie is not in room 1107.
Where is she?
She moved to room 1109 this morning.
Well, I'm going up to see her now. All an ordinary woman does is change her mind. My wife has to change her room, too. I'd like to speak to... Well, Inspector Faraday. I would not like to speak to you.
All right, Blackie. I thought you'd have better sense than to come back. Get in here.
Sure. And stop waving that gun in my face. Look, Faraday. Be as stupid as you want to on your own time, but not on mine. I came here to talk...
Wow. I don't act surprised, Blackie. She's not sleeping. She's been shot. She's dead. And you killed her.
I killed her? I only saw her once in my life.
So, it was love at first sight. You married her. I have this certificate to prove it. Listen. Bride, Joan Blake. Groom, Boston Blackie. Married, Springfield, Ohio. Now, try to talk your way out of that.
Faraday, don't be a dope, will you? Why would I kill this girl, this Joan Blake?
First of all, for money. She had $10,000. Here's a note she was writing, sending it to somebody.
Who?
It doesn't say who. There isn't even car fare in this room. And look at this, a handkerchief.
I don't use ladies' handkerchiefs.
No, but Mary Wesley does. Look, her name's on this one.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you didn't kill her, Blackie. Maybe Mary Wesley did. The handkerchief was in the corner of that sofa by the window. Come on, Blackie.
All right, Inspector. Don't mind if I smoke on the way?
Smoke, who cares?
Done me?
No, thanks. Hurry up, let's go.
Oh, where do I get a light, will you?
Blackie, if this is one of your smart tricks, I'll...
Since when is lighting a cigarette a smart trick, Inspector? Even you can do it. Good night. Say, I wonder what's in this cigarette.
Tobacco, wise guy.
Something has been added that should have been subtracted. Well, I have a look.
Blackie, so help me, you can waste more time.
Well, I put it out. Yeah. This is soaked in pickle juice. Let's see what's in it.
There's nothing in it but tobacco. Come on.
Look, I have a cigarette split open now. I told you there was something in it besides tobacco.
I don't see it.
We'll take a closer look. See those white specks?
What white specks? Where?
There.
Oh, Blackie, my eyes. My eyes. Let go of my arm.
Drop that gun, Faraday. Drop it.
Blackie, so help me out.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Faraday. And leave your gun on the floor. Mine's in my hand.
Blackie, someday you'll be sorry for this.
Maybe, but right now I'm awful glad. So long, Inspector.
Now back to Boston Blackie. Lester Allen is running for political office against a rival with a doubtful record. Allen at one time was innocently involved in a property scandal, which is something only Blackie knows. But when a woman who called herself Mrs. Boston Blackie came to Allen and threatened to expose him, Allen paid her $10,000 to keep her quiet. When Blackie went to see the girl posing as his wife, she was dead. Inspector Faraday found not only evidence proving the dead girl was Blackie's wife, but discovered Mary Wesley's handkerchief near the body. As usual, Blackie escaped from Faraday, and as we return to our story, is paying a midnight call to Mary Wesley's apartment.
Hey, Mary, open up.
Who is this?
Blackie.
Blackie, I told you I never wanted to see you again. Now go away.
Mary, open the door, please.
I said I wanted no part of it.
There won't be much of me left if you don't open the door.
All right. Now, what do you want?
In.
Oh, no. The chain stays on the door.
Look, Faraday's scouring the town for me. Let me in.
No.
You,
Mr. Boston Blackie.
Why the mister?
Because there was a missus.
You mean there was?
Oh, I suppose you got a divorce.
Not even I can divorce a dead wife.
Yes.
And you might as well go to Faraday's office and sign a confession, Mary. He found your handkerchief near the body.
Oh, no,
What were you doing there?
Well, I wanted to see for myself what kind of a fool would be fool enough to marry you.
I'm not married to that girl or anybody.
Oh, Blackie, she showed me proof.
Give me 24 hours and I could prove to you that we were married in 1863.
Blackie, you're sure you're not married to that girl?
I'm not and never was.
But Blackie, are you telling me the truth?
Well, what do you want me to do to prove it? To chew on this door chain?
All right, I'm sorry, darling. I'll unhook it.
Never mind. All I wanted you to know is that you left your handkerchief in that girl's room.
Oh, golly. What am I going to do?
You're going to stay here. Faraday doesn't know that you've moved to this new apartment. I'm going over to see Les Allen. I think he can tell me more, or I don't know less.
Well, you must want something important, Blackie, to barge in on me in the middle of the night.
I found the late Mrs. Boston Blackie, Les.
The late Mrs. Boston Blackie?
Someone got to her before I did and killed her.
Who?
I thought maybe you'd have some idea.
I? What?
The $10,000 you paid her was missing.
Look, I'll admit $10,000 is a lot of money to me, Blackie, but I wouldn't kill for it.
You wouldn't like to have to add to that $10,000?
What do you mean?
You want to sap, Allen? You paid that girl money to keep her mouth shut. But it didn't buy what you thought she knew about you.
I was contemplating what to do about that.
I have a mild suspicion you contemplated with a bang.
I didn't shoot the girl.
How did you know she was shot?
Well, I... Didn't you say so?
I merely said she was killed. I didn't say how.
I took it for granted.
It just so happens that she was shot.
Blackie, I didn't kill her. I'll admit I was worried about how to keep her from blackmailing me again, but... I thought I'd wait until she tried it.
Then you admit you thought she would.
No, I made a bargain with her. I trusted her to keep it. Failing of mine, I guess. Trusting people.
The loss of money could change her.
Blackie, listen, don't drag me into this. I can't afford a scandal right now. This election means a lot to me.
If you want to stay out of this, you'll have to help me.
Help you? How?
What do you know about this girl? Who could have sent it?
Well, Leonard Brewster might have.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What would Leonard Brewster, the political lion, want with blackmail money? He could buy and sell you 50 times.
Brewster is a political lion, all right, but he could have sent that girl to me trying to force me out of the race.
Well, I'd better go see Brewster at his house. And if anybody calls while I'm there, they'll find the lion is busy.
What do you want?
If you're Leonard Brewster, I want you.
I'm Brewster. Who are you?
Boston Blackie. And of course, you'll invite me in. Thanks.
Look here, I won't stand for being disturbed this time of the morning.
Then I'll make it brief. Did you know a girl posing as Mrs. Boston Blackie?
What's it to you?
She was murdered yesterday.
Murdered?
And I happen to know you sent her to Lester Allen trying to force him at her campaign.
What if I did? The last I saw her was in her hotel room Tuesday. She was very cordial. He sat on the sofa by the window and talked over my business proposition.
She accepted, of course.
No, she didn't. She suddenly turned cold as ice and said she'd do the job for $10,000 or else.
Or else what?
Or else she'd tell Lester Allen that I sent her to him, and that's all Allen would need for me to force me out of the campaign.
So you paid?
I did not. That was blackmail. I got up and left. That's the last I saw her.
How did you happen to go to her in the first place?
Well, Jim Whalen, a private detective, set me up to her. Said she was your wife.
I sure would have liked to talk to her, even on the telephone, before she was murdered. Too bad I didn't have time to give my wife a ring.
Walton House, good morning.
What's good about it, chum? It's 4 a.m.
Yes, sir.
This is Inspector Faraday of the police. I want to ask you something.
Oh, yes, Inspector.
Mrs. Boston Blackie checked into one room on Tuesday in your hotel and later changed to room. Why?
Well, it's so small, sir. All we can get in it is a bed, bureau, and a chair.
Oh, I see.
Everybody who has that room asks for a bigger one.
Oh, wait a minute. How long was she in the small room?
Well, just Tuesday. We moved her to the room she was killed in Wednesday morning.
There's no sofa in the room she was in on Tuesday, huh?
Well, the room isn't much bigger than the sofa, sir.
Was there a sofa in the room where she was killed? Yes. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, that solves this case.
Yes? How?
What you said about the sofa, chum. Sofas are made to lie on, not about.
Okay, Blackie, wake up. Get out of that bed of yours. It's the middle of the afternoon. Come on, snap out of it. This is your old pal, Faraday.
Well, Inspector Faraday. Have you run my bathwater yet?
I'll run you ragged first.
Now, is that a nice way to talk on this beautiful afternoon?
Am I ashamed of you?
Yes, I know. My sleep is showing.
I know who murdered your wife, Blackie. If you didn't kill her, Mary Wesley did.
You said that yesterday. Mary is in her apartment. Get her if you like.
I've been to her apartment. Mary doesn't live there anymore.
All right, Faraday. I've let you make a dope out of yourself long enough. Wait till I get dressed, and I'll take you to your killer.
I've got my killer. You or Mary. The dead girl was your wife. She was probably breaking up your romance with Mary. That's reason enough for either of you to kill her.
It's a good reason, all right, Faraday. Only it's a wrong one.
I suppose Mary Wesley didn't even go to see her. That handkerchief of hers just flew into the murder room.
No. Mary went to see her.
Is this the beginning of a confession?
Somebody else went to her hotel room, too.
Yeah, you.
Yes, but she, checked out before I got there.
Who else came up to see her?
Her killer.
Look, quit stalling. Get dressed.
Give me 30 minutes, Faraday.
To get dressed?
To get dressed, pay a call, and hand you your killer. Sorry to bother you again after this morning, Mr. Brewster.
That's perfectly all right, Blackie. You found out more about that girl who was killed?
No, nobody seems to know anything about her. That's why I've come back to you.
Oh.
I thought perhaps if you retold me the story of how you went to see her and what happened, I might get some clue as to her real identity.
I see. Sort of character reference, you might say.
The character is the word, all right. Could you tell me the story just as you told it to me when I called before?
Of course. I went up to her room at the Waltham House to talk about her going to see Lester Allen.
What day was this?
Tuesday in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Well, as I told you, she was very friendly. Made me a drink. We sat on the sofa.
The sofa was where?
Why, by the window.
Oh, that's right. You talked about the view?
Yes. Then we talked business. When I discovered her business was blackmail, I got up and left. And that was the last I saw her.
You never saw her after Tuesday?
Definitely not. Leaving so soon?
No, I'm not leaving. I just want someone else to join us. Come on in, Faraday.
All right, Brewster, don't move.
What is the reason for all this?
You heard this little Tuesday afternoon story, Faraday, about the sofa?
Every word. I'm arresting you, Brewster, for the murder of Mrs. Boston Blackie.
How can you say I killed anyone?
I don't have to say it, Brewster. You said it yourself when you said you sat on a sofa in the murder room on Tuesday.
What does that prove?
The room the murdered woman was in on Tuesday had no sofa in it, which proved that you lied. You didn't see her on Tuesday. You went to her room on Wednesday when she was in the room with the sofa and killed her.
Really? For what reason?
I have your reason, Brewster. On Wednesday, when you saw the girl, you had already been to see Allen. And instead of forcing him to withdraw from the campaign, which is what you paid her to do, she merely blackmailed him, which didn't serve your purpose.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so. When you got sore, she threatened to blackmail you, too. And with your record, she had plenty to blackmail you for. So, like the nice little boy that you are, you killed her.
Come on, Brewster. I'm taking you down to headquarters.
Hey, Brewster, I just had a thought. Isn't it ironic that a sofa is going to send you to the chair?
Thank you. really walking, Blackie.
Does it matter, Mary?
Mm-mm.
You're voting tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand Leonard Brewster withdrew from the race.
Yes. He withdrew to the seclusion of one of Faraday's special cells with Jim Whalen, that detective of his.
Well put.
Faraday found Whalen in St. Louis with Allen's $10,000.
Oh. Mrs. Boston Blackie wasn't married at all, was she?
Mrs. Boston Blackie was married to Jim Whalen. Faraday figured that out, and Whalen admitted he was married under the name of Boston Blackie.
Well, why did he run away with the money the girl got from Mr. Allen?
She double-crossed him when she blackmailed Allen.
So he double-crossed her by taking the money and scrambling.
And then the girl had to turn around and try to blackmail Brewster to make up for the money her lovely husband had taken from her.
Lovely people.
Lovely night.
And look at that lovely sign over there. It says, get married in 5 minutes, $5.
I think we'd better keep moving.
What's the matter? Haven't you got $5?
No, the smallest I have is 50.
Oh, but I'm sure the minister would be willing to make the change.
I don't doubt that the minister is willing to make the change, Mary, but I don't think I am.
Hello, testing. 1, 2.
Yeah, sounds okay, that.
I don't think I'm on.
Yeah, you are.
Am I? Are you sure?
Yes, Mark. Level's good.
Okay, here we go.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast.
Whoa, whoa. I thought we were doing a teaser.
We are.
But that's just the normal intro.
So? Are you sure I'm on?
What were you expecting?
Something a bit more dramatic.
Okay, here we go.
In a pub, somewhere only they know, sit four middle-aged gentlemen.
Hold on, that's just you talking, Rob.
Yes, yes it is.
No, no, no.
What now?
We can't have that. We're just four normal blokes having a chat. Not bloody Tom Cruise doing Mission Impossible.
Recording this teaser's becoming Mission Impossible.
We're running out of time.
Okay, okay, what about this then?
What's the funny?
Because I want to know what's coming next.
For the benefit of the tape, I'm...
Tape? Like, you don't have this in digital, right?
What was that one you said?
Viagogo.
Viagogo. When I first saw that other day, I genuinely thought it said Viagra Go. That's a hard sell.
If there was another time that I could grow up in, I think it'd be the 60s.
60s. Oh, 60s. 100%.
Not just for the music.
Free love.
Like, cheapest I ever remember, it's like, I don't know, £4.
Really?
I can't remember.
Well, it weren't £4, definitely.
No, I know.
You can't remember it when it were in, like, D's rather than P's.
I've got something to say that might throw a bit of a spanner in the works.
You still here, Kirk? Oh,
fundamentally, I agree with what you're saying, but if we want to make a change, sometimes we have to look in a mirror.
That we are thing, playing with balls. And then you end up working at Pulse and Cocktails.
Well, that's a different story.
It's all balls.
I'm assuming you stopped playing with balls at that point.
That's a story for a different time, that one, Rob.
You all right, Mark?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not used to it. I'm just gonna have a drink of this because I need to chill out a bit.
Oh.
I thought his head was gonna blow off.
Well, hang fire. I think you've been a little bit unfair there.
Oh, fierce.
Can't believe you're rating Disney castles.
I'm more got in my head that I don't feel as though it's the first time Mark's heard the nickname Sammy the Snake.
I would love to employ you.
Would you class yourself as a DIYer?
No. Well, I'm a bit of an old school because I'm...
DI slower. Are any of you scared of spiders?
Yes. Well, I mean, I can only say from obviously your loving friends that are around you that would never want to see you fall on your face.
You would love to see me fall on my face.
No. I've ever told you the story about when Rob nearly killed me in war? Settle in. It was horrendous.
There's some welding it. That's dangerous.
Wielding. No. You're on fire tonight, Rob.
Back into dictionary corner, Rob.
I remember being on buses when we used to get us tickets from conductors.
See, now you're showing your age.
And you can only remember £4 a pint.
I know.
Did you live on buses?
Seriously, can't remember cheap
beer. Being that cheap when Mark was younger, he can't remember any of his shots.
I just can't remember cheap beer. I just can't.
Hold on. What you're basically saying is we can't control ourselves, so therefore somebody else needs to control them for us.
You are a bundle of fun tonight.
I'll tell you what I was making and see if you know them. I was making shave hooks.
What?
Shave hooks.
Hooks. You've got to be careful how you say that, haven't you?
Is that what I used to make them? So I could say.
Oh, that's a nice word.
Yeah.
That's the word of the moment. Shrinkflation.
Easy for you to say.
In your poshest accent.
I'll put my glasses on and I'll say it.
1988.
Wow.
That's when Bruce Forsyth. And you were watching it on the only TV in Rotherham.
I watched it in black and white.
On a bus.
I was 14.
The Chatting, your new weekly podcast.
I'm telling you, this mic's not on.
Dropping weekly from the 1st of December on all your favourite podcast platforms.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.